You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Football Astronauts. I'm your host today, Guy Fieri. You can catch me on Twitter at FF underscore Flavortown. With me is Jetpack Galileo. You can catch him on Twitter at Jetpack Galileo. What is poppin'? Are you ready to talk running backs in this rookie class?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. We're going to get it popping. I'm so excited. Running backs, usually my favorite position to talk this year. Not as much. Still a couple exciting names out there. Fair. But, you know, we're gonna make do this year. Before we get started, I want to point you guys to our film room. All these guys that we're talking about, you can go on over to our film room, ffastronauts.com. Check out our film library. You'll be able to watch all these guys, their highlight tapes, as well as much game footage as we can get on there. Go check that out. And while you're there, consider supporting us on Patreon. If you support us at the second tier or higher, you get complimentary access to our rookie draft guide that's coming out soon. So yes, make sure you do that. Make sure you go check out the film room and support us on Patreon. But let's get right into it. Let's just go right into our guys. It's a weird class. It doesn't feel like as strong of a class. There are two guys that definitely stayed out of last year's class so that they could boost their draft stock because they would not have performed as well in last year's class. And those are two of the top guys in this class are ones that chose to not declare early because their draft stock would have been lower because of how good last year's class is. So just right off the bat, looking at Najee Harris and Travis Etienne, both going back. Did I say that? Good. Both going back for their senior year, right? You see that all of a sudden they're now a tier below where we had these other guys. All the guys that were early declares, they're just not on the same level, or they didn't see themselves on that same level as those guys. Their agents told them, hey, your draft grade's going to be better if you hold out next year because this class is so good. So it's a red flag already that they waited a year. And that to me just kind of dampens the whole class. There's a couple of underclassmen or juniors rather that are declaring that are plenty exciting, but you get these top two guys that everyone was excited about last year. And because they didn't declare last year, because they didn't see themselves as on that same level, I'm not as hyped overall. There's good talent, definitely, don't get me wrong, but this isn't a class where you're getting a bunch of future top 10 guys like last class was. J.K. Dobbins, we had a luxury with J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, Antonio Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We had the luxury of having a bunch of guys that will flirt in and out of the top 10, in and out of the top five for the next several years. And I don't know that we have that in this class. Would you concur there, Jetpack?
Yeah, I think Najee Harris stands out to me. I think he'll end up being one of those top backs in the NFL. I think right away he has applicability and he's versatile enough and powerful enough to be a top back, be an RB1 in the league. I think some of the other guys, you have more questions built around them just in terms of versatility or utility or whatever. But yeah, I'm 100% confident in Najee Harris. I think what you're saying in terms of thinking about these two classes together is we're recognizing these guys are the same age as JK and Jonathan Taylor. And, you know, so when they're behind in their development a little bit, you know, I don't know how much value it is to say, oh, I'd rather get a DeAndre Swift than have a Najee Harris, you know, or a Travis Etienne. And so in that mindset, I think if you can turn a top pick into one of those NFL guys who's already had a year in the league, you're not losing anything on age. You're getting it. You're not having to waste time with some sort of rookie battle like you did, like you saw last year with all these guys who were taking time through their rookie year. And so if you're thinking about age, I think priority wise, if I have a top pick and I can get one of the guys from last year's class, I might do that.
Absolutely. The interclass rankings, I think, are really important, and we'll hit on that later in the off season, but interclass rankings are a really important part of evaluating your dynasty rosters. And I mean, that's what we do constantly. We're looking back at the past classes and seeing how they stack up, and it helps us gain better clarity. But I think this year you look at these guys, and I'm going to agree with you that Najee Harris is definitely locked and loaded as my RB1 in this class. I think I've been excited for him since he was in high school. One of the few guys that I saw as a Devy player and just kind of followed up. And we'll talk about him in here in a second, but just overall, there are a handful of guys that opted not to declare early because of how competitive last class was. And if they were really as good as we wanted them to be, they probably would have declared early, like some of the other guys did. So just not a death sentence, but definitely not a plus for them. Everyone, what did you say? Everyone's good. Find out why they suck. That's one of the things you would look at for this class. Okay, everybody's a good player. Why do they suck? And for Najee Harris, it's my Chicago accent, you know.
Chicago, come on, guy.
It's Najee Harris, the old Najee Harris. Najee Harris. The reason why you would say he sucks, right? And I'm saying that hyperbolically. I don't even know. I'm talking all over the place now, but I'm saying that in hyperbole, he sucks because he didn't declare early, or that would be his negative, right? You look at his profile, and a 6'2", 230 player didn't break out until his junior year, but I mean, he's been absolutely dominant for 2 years in the NFL or in the NCAA. 1,200 yards, 1,400 yards, like just 20 touchdowns, 30 touchdowns, just been an absolute workhorse. So the only knock on the guy is not declaring early. And for him, seeing the physical freak that he is, that's something I'm willing to overlook for him. And I think out of everyone in this class, he has your favorite running back metric. He's definitely elite in, and that's yards after hurdle. And yeah, I think Najee Harris is... Yeah, dive into the film and what you like a little bit on him, because I mean the metrics are all there. He's going to be phenomenal. The only knock analytically would be his non-early declare.
Yeah, when you're talking about yards after hurdle, you're talking about the most important stat in fantasy football. And Najee hits that mark spot on. He's much more of a hurdler than I would have thought, and he's developed a lot after his first 2 years in terms of his ability to jump over people, and I think that's really important in the NFL. So in terms of him coming out, and I think early on in his career, people were questioning, oh, this guy's a little bit stiff, just in the terms of the way that he's moving and all that kind of stuff. That's not really a concern anymore. Nobody's saying that after watching this season. So I think... from a prospect standpoint or an evaluation of who you think he is, maybe his skill set didn't develop with that other year, but you got to see more of a variety, right? We saw him attack as a receiver way more than we thought was possible, I think.
Absolutely.
And so to see growth from him from that standpoint, I think that's really valuable, just in the way that the NFL will see him, right? Before, he might have been, hey, this is our power back. But now he could be like a Le'Veon Bell kind of guy. And so I think he did improve his draft stock. And so for him to stay, you can say what you want about guys staying in school just in general. But I think for him, in terms of did he improve his draft stock, I think he did. So, in my mind, he's one of the best, running back prospects. If he was in this 2019 class, or if we're putting these classes together, I think he'd fit in the top five. I'd feel pretty comfortable about that.
Yeah, and he's the one guy where I feel that way with the 2020 class. And when you look at the players, you obviously have to look at, did they improve their draft stock? Was it the right choice for them personally? Because if you're the fifth running back drafted versus the first running back drafted, there's difference in amount of money made and how highly you're regarded within that draft class. So it's definitely that was the right career move for him. But when you're doing that comparison, you have to at least make that acknowledge that piece. I think Le'Veon Bell's a really good comparison, actually. I saw that earlier on Twitter today, and I thought, wow, that's a great comparison. I love his vision. I love his athletic ability, his power, great receiving ability. He checks all the boxes for me, and he's clearly cemented himself as the RB1 in this class for me. That's locked and loaded. When I was going through, he was the one that jumped out in the film, and production wise, and so he's definitely my running back one in this class. Running back, and we haven't compared our running back rankings here really, but I feel like we're going to be decently similar on my next guy here, and that's Javonte Williams. Are you a big Javonte Williams guy?
I am. Yeah, I love his play style. I think that's the easy thing, is you turn on the tape and he just runs people over. And that's so attractive to today's NFL and all that stuff. And he's versatile enough to where he catches passes. And so statistically, I think that's not going to be a blind spot for him. And so I'm curious to see, you know, when people compare him with, like, oh, at college, he was never just the only guy because Michael Carter's there. Will people see him? I mean, they're not going to be worried about him being a bell cow because of his play style.
So the thing with Javonte and his pairing with Michael Carter is, a lot of times people will look at, oh, just like we do with receivers, where, you know, one of these guys isn't necessarily standing out compared to the other guy statistically. And so we'll get too excited about, oh, did this guy need to be in a committee? NFL teams will do this too, where this guy didn't really carry the load, and so they don't expect him to be a bell cow in the NFL. I don't think that people will have a problem with that with Javonte Williams, and so I think from a fantasy standpoint, that's what would push him over the top for me, is because of his play style. He's more of a bell cow in terms of the prototype of the way that NFL teams will see him, and so I don't think they'll have questions about him feeding him a ton of carries. Whereas like Michael Carter, who I love, right? And I think Jay Moyer loves him. So, you know, got a lot of respect for that opinion. And he likes him more than Javonte Williams. I think from that standpoint of skill set, we can say, yeah, this Michael Carter guy is legit. But an NFL team might look at him and treat Michael Carter like Aaron Jones and say, oh, you need to be splitting carries with somebody. And Javonte, I don't think that they're going to say the same thing. That's just not typically what they do with bigger guys like Javonte. So, from the way that I view Javonte, I really like him a lot. I think putting him at 3, I think that's a good spot, a healthy spot to put him at. You could argue him 2, I would say, even over ETN. But yeah, he really does everything that you want to see from a, you know, being able to go between the tackles, and he's got no problem catching passes, and he can run people over, and you know, all that's really exciting. So yeah, I'm with you on Javonte at 3.
Yeah, so I actually have him at 2. I've bumped ETN down quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, everything you said there, physical back, good mover, right? When you get the big guys, oftentimes you want to see the bruiser, but you want to see them able to move well at 6'5", 10, 220. And that's exactly what Javonte does. He's got some wiggle to him. And I do like his vision. I do like, he's got everything that you need. He's not exciting electric speed or anything, and that's probably his one knock, but he's not slow. He's not a slow guy. Definitely another guy, and you've seen people fall in love with this type of running back with the contact balance, excellent contact balance. And he's just going to be a really solid NFL back, right? And again, not going to blow you away with his speed, but he's definitely not slow. He can break off some big ones, but yeah, I'm a big fan of Javonte. A lot of people even have him 1, and we did a little bit of a mailbag on Twitter, and I don't know, the first question was, who is your RB1 and why is it Javonte Williams? And I don't know that I can go Javonte Williams number 1, but he's really solid. He's going to fit in well somewhere in a system. If a guy like Aaron Jones doesn't get re-signed in Green Bay, he's someone that could fit in well there, right? They like a bigger type back, and that seems to be the prototype that the NFL teams like nowadays. You see him; he's like a faster Zach Moss, a more athletic Zach Moss, right? You get these guys with good contact balance. You fall in love with their ability to just carry the ball, and then Javonte actually seems like he has a bit more of that speed that some of these guys don't have. So for me, he looks like a mid four fives guy, mid to low four fives guy. And that's plenty fast for a running back for me. He's probably not in the 4.6s, but he's probably not in the 4.4s. And pro day's obviously going to be slightly inflated still, but yeah, Javonte at number two, you knocked it out there. Checks all my boxes for me. Do you have Etienne at running back two?
Currently, it's kind of a mix with where I'm at on these running backs. I think I'll finish grading in a bit, but yeah, right
what
now.
What are your thoughts on him? Because I've dropped him down quite a bit. He's currently my running back six, maybe seven. Where do you have him?
So he can slide around, I think, because so in terms of my expertise, right, and my focus, it's been mostly with the wide receivers, and so I'm late to the running back scouting. But from what I'm hearing from Jay early on has been that ETN has not been impressive, and then just in talking with you, I've heard the same. I think people being down on ETN, a lot of that is based on his performance behind the Clemson offensive line and them carrying him in some sense, and him not having to, the vision requirements are not necessarily high playing at, Clemson had the best offensive line for the past couple of years, or one of the top offensive lines. And so they're giving him big holes and he just gets to run through them. I think for me, why I like ETN, I think the speed is real and I think people underrate his power. And so, he might not be the most elusive per se, but he makes people miss and he has the ability to break lots of tackles and run really fast. And so you put him on the right offensive team, and I think that skill set is really valuable. Where, you're looking at some of these other guys, and that's not necessarily the case. We saw, this might make people upset, right? But we saw a guy like Clyde struggle, right? And I think if you had ETN in a similar situation, you can just plug him in and he can, running backs, they need to run fast. That's, part of the game. So there's an up, or I shouldn't say that. I should say, you can be really good and run a 4.6, but if you run a 4.3, that's also really great too. And so there's pros and cons to each player's game. And I don't think the cons of ETN's, vision, pull him down enough to where I put him in like the 6 or 7 territory. Now I'm still ranking guys and all that kind of stuff, but there's a lot of things I like about him.
Yeah, he's definitely fast enough. He's slightly undersized. You would love to see him a little bit heavier than 205, although that's becoming more common for running backs to be below 210. Used to not be the case. His speed is there. His athleticism is there. He's a Miles Sanders type guy, where sure, you know that the athleticism's there, but is that going to translate? And it did from time to time for Miles Sanders, but he's also a guy that got beat out for snaps by Jordan Howard. And so you get someone like Travis Etienne, and totally, they can break off, they can have great games. You see them struggle when the offense is relying upon them. Guys like Rashad Penny, although Rashad Penny's a little bit bigger, Miles Sanders, these types of guys come to mind where don't necessarily have great vision. He's got enough power. He gets tripped up fairly easily, and he's a miserable lateral mover. If you think of the antithesis of J.K. Dobbins, he's the exact opposite of J.K. Dobbins as far as his lateral movement. It's like a NASCAR wide left turn. That's how he's moving.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. And I saw that somewhere. I don't remember who, so I didn't come up with that. I saw that somewhere on Twitter, but it's literally just round it slowly or quickly rather, but it's a bank. It's not a sharp cut. He's banking into his cuts. He's not cutting. So that's my big knock on him, is the lateral agility is just not there. And that's great if you can be an outside zone type guy and you can hit a hole and have a good offensive line. That's awesome. Tevin Coleman had great success in Atlanta with that same type of running style, but I just don't see it for Travis Etienne. I see the explosive play, but I don't, there are other guys that I would rather have on my roster because I think they're better, well-rounded running backs that lack the explosive ability of Travis Etienne. So at this point, it's harder to develop that lateral movement for me. And especially when you're doing so at such a high speed, I struggle to see how Travis Etienne is going to translate here to the NFL. All the metrics are there. He had a serious dip this past year in his production, but guys that average 8+ yards per carry, to me, that seems like a plus. To me, guys that are averaging 8+ yards a carry is somewhat of a red flag. You're looking at the Rashad Penny, right? Are you going untouched? Are you running through these wide open lanes and you didn't have to create anything, or are you creating stuff on your own? And I just don't know that Travis Etienne is that guy that's creating on his own. So that's my thought on him. I'm more than willing to be proven wrong, but the downside of him not understanding or not being able to move and cut well and process reads is too real of a learning curve for me to want to invest that number two pick, where I'd much rather have Javonte Williams at that number two slot, because I think he's a better running back, like as a player. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
I don't mind that at all. I think if you're comping him to Tevin Coleman, I think that's a pretty good comp. And so where we fall on him, I think that's pretty relevant. So yeah, I mean, the thing with Etienne being the guy, I think, though, similar to what we saw at Clemson, he can carry the load in that sense. And so just as far as having a slasher on the team, I think that's pretty valuable. And people will look at his college profile and say, oh, this guy was really good for a good team. And so I think an NFL team will believe in him and they'll feed him some carries. So I'm a fan in that sense. But yeah, so another thing about Etienne that I think is pretty interesting is he's the You good? So one of the things that does jump out to me in terms of ETN's movement skills is how flat-footed he is. And he's probably the fastest heel striker that we've seen since Kevin White.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
So the way he moves, it looks like he's got boats for shoes. And he's...
banana feet?
Yeah, he's got banana feet. He's pawing the ground. And yeah, it's just such a unique style. And I think that style, people don't like that. And so you can see the effects, right? He's fast. He runs through tackles. He has enough shake to make somebody miss and then run through them. And I actually do think his contact balance is pretty good. I wouldn't say it's bad. But people don't like the way that he feels to them. It feels like every step is clunky. And so even though the product is fast, I think, it's not beautiful the way that we want a running back to be. And yes, if we're talking about, is there some sort of movement challenge there with him basically running like he's Kevin White? I think that says something about his athleticism. That fits into why is he not as talented when moving laterally? It's because he's running on his heels. He strikes with his heels instead of moving through his toes. And so the side to side jukes are not going to be as effective. But what do you think movement wise? What you see from him? Interesting study.
I think that's perfect. Yeah, no, I think that's perfect. Kevin White is a really good athletic comparison because great straight line movers, great exercisers. Travis Etienne is going to be a great exerciser, but he's not the guy that I want. Toting the rock for my team, right? He's a guy that, okay, great, get him in space, awesome, but you have to manufacture space for him. It's the same sort of thing with N'Keal Harry, all right? Although N'Keal Harry wasn't the athlete, like you had to manufacture space for N'Keal Harry to operate in order for him to be effective. And to do that for a wide receiver feels easier than for a running back, because a running back, you have way less room to operate. Wide receiver, you can move them around a lot more. But I feel like the running back position, if you don't have the ability to move in the backfield, to juke, to move laterally in the backfield, you don't have that same upside as someone else who can make those moves. And so for me, that's where guys like Jamar Jefferson from Oregon State, I want to say, that's where guys like Jamar Jefferson jump up the board for me, because this guy is someone that I think is a great mover, has average top end speed, which is fine, but he's not that guy that's going to get stuck in the backfield. Have you put any time into Jamar Jefferson?
Not enough. You tell me about him. He's got fantastic stats. So it just turns out 200 yard games whenever he wants. So it's in Pac-12.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. I mean, he's absolutely phenomenal in the stats. And then I really got on the film with him, because people were hyping him up, and I got on the film and I fell in love with how he plays. He's got some breakaway speed. He had a great game against Oregon, which is a notoriously fast turf and notoriously fast team. And he absolutely torched them and looked phenomenal. Great power back, good enough receiver, like checks all the standard boxes. Now he's probably my favorite player of these running backs. Doesn't mean I have him ranked in my top dynasty options, but he's probably going to be your best value running back, especially once they see the draft capital pour in, because I think he'll get drafted in the probably in the third round by a running back needy team. And he's someone that, same thing, he's how heavy, he's like 5'10", 220, something in that range. Plenty of size, plenty of girth, and you know, he can get the job done in all facets of the game. Thing that stuck out most to me, the two things were, he's kind of like an outside zone type running back. That's where he does best. But he has good enough vision to make the cuts at the second level, right? And that's what you want, is you're going to have holes open up for you. Regardless of the team that you're on, you're going to have a hole to run through, but can you make the read at the second level? And that's something that I think Jamar Jefferson does a really good job of, is deciphering, once he gets through that initial hole, what is his move at the second level? And so he will minimize his surface area for contact. He'll get an angle on a second level defender. And that's where he does some more of his damage. So he's not only just this guy that reads the hole well, but he utilizes the his ability in that second level really well, which is something I think is phenomenal. Probably similar athleticism to Javonte, maybe slightly faster, but again, nothing that you're concerned about athletics wise. It's not the Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's not the David Montgomery type speed. You see him break off these long runs. And so that whole athletic factor isn't a problem. And so I actually have him ranked number three, cemented pretty firmly in there for me. There are very few guys that get me as excited as Jamar Jefferson. And I think other people will surpass him as far as the consensus rankings. So I think he's also going to be your best value. You're going to get guys that draft Travis Etienne sooner. You're going to get guys that draft Kenneth Gainwell and Michael Carter sooner. And so all of a sudden, Jamar, who's my third ranked running back, you're going to be able to get him way later than you would. You'll be able to get him end of the first, into the mid second, in that range. And you won't have to pay that top three running back premium for him. And I think that's what's most appealing in these rookie drafts, is the value that Jamar Jefferson's going to come at with the skill level that he has.
Nice.
So I mean, that's where I'm at. But
that sounds good to me.
I mean, you're obviously going to have to watch more film on him, because I think he is an exceptional talent there. But yeah, you'll get into that a little bit more, because the wide receivers, it's a deep class in wide receivers, and the running backs, since they are more lackluster, it's not something that I'm like really freaking out about. Where are you at grading these guys?
So I think the way that you feel about Jamar is probably the way that I feel about Michael Carter. I love watching Michael Carter play. You know, and people are comparing him to Aaron Jones. I mean, that's as good as it can get for a guy that was a part of a committee and who can hop in and I think has a lot of intriguing talent in terms of his speed Jay loves his vision. So, you know, if Jay likes a guy's vision, I'm all about it, right? Those guys are end up being really good. And with a guy like Michael Carter, who's to me is probably more of a 4.4 guy, where Javonte is probably a 4.5 something. I think Carter's probably 4.4, and he can bring everything you want to the table in terms of receiving. And so, you know, you have that type of versatility and speed. He's a super intriguing option. I think he'll end up standing out at the next level. So I really like Michael Carter a lot. To me, he's my RB4. I don't know if that's kind of where you're at on that end, but big fan of Michael Carter.
Yeah, I have him at running back 5. I'm totally comfortable with you having him at 4. It's really, again, it's really the explosive play preference there. Do you want a Jamar Jefferson? Do you want a Javonte Williams? Do you want a Travis Etienne, or do you want a Michael Carter? And so there's definitely different tiers as far as speed and athleticism. And again, I think I think he's someone that kind of separates himself in all categories, right? You have guys in this class that very solidly fit into one category or another. And Najee is someone that, like, is just all of them. I got to stop with that. It's the freaking Chicago.
Yeah, you just say accent. Harris, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to say Harris from here. Yeah, Harris. But Najee's such a fun name to say. I'm a big fan of Michael Carter. He's the Alvin Kamara type, I'm not making the comparison. Don't get it.
You're talking dirty to me. Right? Yeah.
Right. Don't get it confused. That's the style running back he plays. And that's the style running back that does have success in the NFL right now. There you see the Alvin Kamara, you see the Aaron Jones, you see the Austin Eckler. These are all guys that break into the top 10 and top 5. And, you know, that's the style running back he is. So I totally see him having this sort of success. It's not anything that seems far-fetched for him to even maybe have a season where he's the best running back out of the class in a given season, you know?
Yeah. I think so. You know, there's all this hype about Javonte. Michael Carter outproduced him in terms of yardage.
Yeah.
And people don't talk about that. Both years he outproduced him in terms of yardage. So, you know, there's something to be said about that. Just very explosive.
It's the Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, right? They both can have phenomenal seasons, and that's kind of how these guys were. Javonte's a Melvin Gordon type, and Michael Carter's the Austin Eckler type, and you know that both styles can have success in the NFL, and flat out both styles can have success. And I definitely prefer Michael Carter over Travis Etienne. I 100% prefer Michael Carter over Travis Etienne. If you're talking speed, Michael Carter definitely has that edge over Etienne. And so I will for sure have him ranked there.
To hear that. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, really, I mean, everything in this class for every position comes down to what's your play style preference. What is your play style preference? And you have said this from the beginning, is speed, explosiveness. Every single guy is speed, explosiveness. If we disagree on a guy, you are taking 100% of the time, you are taking the guy that has the more explosive profile. And I'm totally good with that. Totally, totally fine with that. But that's a pick your poison type of draft. That's just what this is this year.
Yeah, but so our 5 is the same though, right? We're both on this Kenny Gainwell. You got to be a Gainwell guy. I mean, yeah. So I think what happens, we'll get to, like, you know, you listen to the quarterback pod and we talk about the first two guys and it's like, oh yeah, these are the guys. And then you get to Zach Wilson, you're like, oh, I love Zach Wilson. I can't have enough of him. That's kind of how I feel about Kenny Gainwell, just in terms of like he's so fun to watch. And so, you know, one of the interesting things, Harms was asking, hey, you know, what's up with these Memphis running backs? It seems like they churn out good products every year. Kenny Gainwell was the offensive leader. We forget this. He was the lead running back. He didn't play this year, but he was a lead running back when Antonio Gibson was, you know, kind of fooling around at wide receiver. Antonio Gibson, a actually pretty good fantasy relevant running back in the NFL, could not find a starting job because Kenny Gainwell already had it as a freshman or a sophomore.
Yes. Sophomore so, year.
Yeah, I mean, really speaking a lot about how good Gainwell can be. But yeah, I mean, definitely maximize the system there. Tell me your thoughts on Gainwell, what you're seeing.
Kenny Gainwell is, while he definitely would come in undersized, 5'11", 195. Again, we're talking about these guys that do things at a lighter weight that are becoming more typical in the NFL. Do they garner all of the touches? No. Is Aaron Jones getting 20 touches a game? Not necessarily. Is Austin Ekeler getting 20 touches a game? Not necessarily. But you see the efficiency, and you see that Kenny Gainwell is just an absolutely explosive athlete. I'm going to not go the Tariq Cohen route, but he doesn't need a lot of touches to do a lot of damage. He can score most of his fantasy points on one or two plays, and that's totally fine because that's the type of player that he is. As a sophomore at Memphis, and I think he opted out this year, or was he injured? Did he opt out?
He opted out.
So I mean, he's one of those guys. 1400 yards as a sophomore, as a true sophomore. And there you go. Like, that's all you need to know is you have 1400 yards as a sophomore, you opt out as a junior, and you're still being talked about in this range. Phenomenal athlete. Can line up at wide receiver if he needs to. He had 51 receptions. That's twice as many as Javonte. I mean, like, there are very few running backs.
He has an elite receiving profile.
14% target share.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, yeah, insane.
So
91st percentile there, 6.3 yards per carry, your upper percentile. The only knock on him is going to be his size, and teams are going to use explosive playmakers, and he's an explosive playmaker. He's going to get touches. He's very similar to Michael Carter in his ability, just a much better pass catcher. He's much more of a hybrid than Michael Carter is.
Yeah, I mean, they'll put him out wide and throw a back shoulder to him pretty comfortably.
Absolutely.
He performs really well doing that. And it's fun to see him line up in the slot and they move him around. And he's just comfortable there. And I think, you know, you get into like learning how to run routes from the slot position is easy, right? You just go in, you move, you shake a little bit, and then you stand where there's nobody else. That's different than what you're playing on the outside, but it's not hard for him to be able to transfer that to the NFL. What we're seeing on tape, I think, in terms of his receiving skill set, that's gonna do just fine, and that's huge for, you know, you're playing your PPR leagues or whatever. So I think that utility and them being able to look at Kenny and say, this guy has done this, this guy has experience doing this for a couple years, easy, go ahead, run, go and do it. And I, you know, there's a lot of guys in the NFL that, like, you know, you're never gonna take. You know, you can say, hey, Jonathan Taylor, you're good enough to catch the passes, but we have Nyheim Hines to do that. Kenny Gainwell, right. He can be that guy. So that's really exciting to mm-hmm. me. And I love him as a runner and what he does in terms of his creativity. And so, like, his spin move is fantastic. And he'll hit that early, or he'll hit that when it's not super obvious. And he's quick to the trigger on a lot of his moves. And so, you know, from that standpoint, I love his elusiveness. I think he's one of the better backs in terms of that in this class. So he's going to stay high up there for me. Like him a lot.
So when you talk about him versus Travis Etienne, right? He's someone that Travis Etienne, you need to manufacture space for him. Kenny Gainwell can get to space, and then he does well in space, right? He's someone that can make those reads, can get himself into space, and that's where he's electric. So yeah, big fan of Kenny Gainwell. He's the upside guy that I want over Travis Etienne. He's the upside guy for me, right? Easily over Etienne. Daniel Harms. Where does Memphis keep churning out the legit running backs? They go for the hybrid. that hybrid running back wide receiver combo is a great combo, and their running backs coach should be promoted to the NFL somewhere, because you know they're taking these unconventional guys and turning them into studs and turning them into NFL studs. And so I think Kenny Gainwell is just the next guy, the next man up, and I'm excited to see who else they have there. Let's talk about, so Ryan Kennedy asked, where do you guys have Etienne in your rankings? After Jay Moyer posted his quick thoughts, it didn't sound like he deserved to be as high as most have him. Real quick, we'll touch on that, cause we got asked that. What, is he your number two, and do you see him moving after conversations, or do you think he'll likely stay in that top three?
So yeah, currently he's my two, but he can slide around in the top five. I'm not going to move him out of the top five, I don't think. I literally have to watch him and be like, oh, this is not good anymore. And I think that a lot of people have had that experience. It sounds like you have, but just from how I know him from previous years and watching him play live a little bit, I like him a lot, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair. He's impactful, and he can take over a game. He's the guy where, you know, Trevor Lawrence, like, yeah, that's great. He's fantastic and all that. We can just hand it off to Etienne and he can have a 100-yard game, no problem, against almost every team. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm good with that. He's outside my top five, and it's going to take a little bit for him to be drafted inside my top five. So just wanted to address that question we had from Ryan Kennedy before we move too far past Etienne. All right, we got two guys left that I want to talk about, and then two guys that we'll touch quick on that I haven't watched a ton of, or three guys that I haven't watched a ton of, but just enough to have kind of an initial opinion. But we'll start with Trey Sermon and Chuba Hubbard. Those are the two guys that I want to touch on here, because Chuba Hubbard had a 2,000 yard season in 2019, and then a completely lackluster 7-game season in 2020, and just looked like a completely different player. And I heard an interesting conversation with Tommy over in the 2-on-1 pod, where Chuba had a bunch of kind of like a falling out with the coach over there at OK State. And so I've faded him, and I currently have him a little bit low in my rankings. But I really don't have a reason for that beyond the 2020 film, because he checks most of the other boxes. 6'2", 208, so he's a little skinny, but like, who cares really? Once you hit the 208 range, and we talked about how weight fluctuates, he's someone that was always interesting for me, and I liked, but I never loved. He's someone that I liked but never loved, right? And it's hard to ignore a 2,000 yard rushing season. Doesn't have the same passing upside, had less receptions than Javonte Williams. 23 was his max his sophomore year. So he's this explosive playmaker that doesn't have the receiving upside necessarily that I've seen. And he's just a really confusing guy for me. Do you have any clarity on Chuba Hubbard?
No, not really. He's perplexing, right? It was interesting to see. He's basically just a track athlete that they put out there, and they gave him like 300 carries. So, you know, you look at that his junior year, you look at that and you're like, oh man, this is sweet, right? To have a guy who's, you know, probably going to run 4.39 or something like in that territory, and say, oh yeah, we can just feed him 300 carries and he'll be okay. That was definitely something that a lot of people were hot for. And then to see now how it all kind of fell apart, it's really interesting. So what we see when we're watching Chuba is a lot of short 2-3 yard gains. And they're, you know, feeding him 300 carries, 25 carries a game, whatever. So you see a lot of those short gains, and then it'll break off a big one. Because at his heart, or at the base of who he is, he's a track star. He's a track athlete. And so, you know, in terms of him being able to hold up under that workload, I think that's exciting to see that from a track guy. But as far as his efficiency, that it's just kind of this boom or bust. And because they're giving him such a high volume, eventually he'll hit those boom plays. And that was pretty much the case with all of his every single OK State game, which wasn't that bad, right? I think we can look at the 2020 game log and we'll see he played seven games. And so the 625 yards, you look at that at first, you're like, only 625 yards on the season. In seven games, that's not too bad, right? He had the first five games where he was getting 25 carries a game and he was averaging over 100 yards. That's pretty solid. The last two games he dropped down, he had 8 carries and 6 carries. So, you know, you have to figure out what went on there. But, yeah, overall, I'm not afraid of the guy necessarily just because he had a poor stat line.
Yeah, and I'm kind of there as well. I don't – when you have the – when you break off the short yardage plays, that's the sorry, the splash plays on short yardage situations. That to me shows you need the linebackers to be up close to the line of scrimmage and you can't beat people at the second level, right? You can beat them with speed, but you can't beat them with your skill. And so to me, that's a difference between him and a Javonte or a Jamar Jefferson, where yes, he's faster, but he doesn't have the same skill to beat them at the second level. So didn't love like the vision aspects, but did really enjoy his athleticism there. A comparison that maybe you might like would be a Raheem Mostert type, where you have this track athlete. And I actually really like Raheem Mostert in the NFL. But a Raheem Mostert where you hit the hole and you're gone and you can outrun everybody. Not necessarily the pass catching back, but not terrible. But you hit the hole and you go. And Raheem Mostert is a little bit more of a bowling ball now than maybe you would have thought he was. But I kind of see Chuba Hubbard as having that same sort of potential where in the right system, he could totally get a volume play and break off a couple big runs. But it's going to take the right system, just like it took Raheem Mostert a couple different teams and the right system in Shanahan to fully realize his potential. You're looking at a track athlete that turned running back. And so I kind of like the Raheem Mostert comp. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I think that's fair. And that's where I'd want him to end up is with the Niners, something like that.
Right.
I have it in the back of my mind that he's going to end up with the Chiefs. And
which would be fire. That
would be devastating for all Clyde owners. But right. Yeah, I think that they're looking for somebody who's just freaking fast now. Because why not get freaking fast? We're already the best team, almost with the second best team, apparently, in the NFL.
Right.
You know, to just... you know, plug in and create as much speed as we can. I think that'll be intriguing for a team like the Chiefs. And he'll mix well with a guy like Clyde.
He's Justice Hill's second chance. Wherever Trey Lance goes, that's where you want Chuba to go.
Wow, that'd be a fun mix, huh?
Yeah. Wherever Trey Lance goes, that's where you want Chuba to go, in my opinion. Another place he'd be great. Ooh, another place he'd be awesome. Buffalo. Pair him with Josh Allen. Get some speed in there because they have two very slow running backs.
Yes, they
get
do.
Get some speed.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, there's a handful of landing spots where if he goes there, sign me up. But as of right now, he's too landing spot dependent for me to want to invest a ton of draft capital in him. You know, his talent isn't that of someone, his athletic profile is, his talent isn't that of someone that I want to just say, hey, as a pure running back, I like you more. He's someone that's definitely a landing spot dependent and situation dependent for me, which typically isn't the case. Usually I like the talent of a guy and he's a guy that, that I kind of flip that on. Someone that I'm a little higher than consensus on is Trey Sermon. I mean, again, someone that transferred out of, Oklahoma, had a solid year at Ohio State, although he didn't start every single game. It's kind of hard to transfer in and play right away. But when he was in, he was really great, I thought. Averaged 7 yards a carry his last two seasons. And I thought he looked, when I watched the film, I thought he was a guy that really stood out to me on the film, although the analytics would not support my decision to have him ranked so highly. You know, you see a guy that transfers out because of Ramondre Stevenson, who is not, he's just a bowling ball. That's not someone that you're excited about, but Trey Sermon, someone that I actually really like his actual football ability. Do you have opinions on Trey?
He's an interesting guy because he's never really started ever his whole career. He's with Kennedy Brooks, splitting time, and then like you said about Ramondre, and then now with Master Teague. And but you know, the game that sticks out to all of us is the Clemson game where he just totally took over, best player on the field, you know, and you know, that carries a lot of weight in people's minds, and it says a lot about his ability. So yeah, Trey's a guy that I like watching, and I think he's versatile, and you know, clearly he understands how the zone system works and all that. And just a lot of injuries, I think, have been an issue for him. And so just from injuries alone, I think that keeps him out of the top five. But yeah, I like him. I think he'd probably be RB6 for me.
Yeah, that's right where I have him as well. Right ahead of Travis Etienne, actually. Although I wouldn't be upset if you flipped him. It's more of a statement ranking, you know. Sometimes you gotta do things just to let
that's
the people
the whole
know.
Point. That's the whole point of this thing, right? You have to tell people, yeah, hey, this is something new, but I believe it. That's key. Yeah.
You gotta have one contrarian take. Yeah. And mine is probably Trey Sermon over Travis Etienne.
That's very contrarian. But, yeah. You know, he was the best. They played each other head-to-head. Best player on the field.
He was better. Yeah. See, that's what you want to see. In any given matchup, who's better? Head-to-head.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's just like the UFC, right? It doesn't matter. Oh, he won this fight. He won this fight. Doesn't matter the record. As soon as you're in the ring, who's better? Who wins?
Yeah.
Who won, Jetpack? Trey Sermon won. Did.
Yeah.
So... Though that really rounds out my top tier guys. We had a couple questions on some of these other guys that I do want to hit on. Jarrett Patterson is someone that's interesting out of Buffalo. He had that one insane game. Didn't he have like five or six touchdowns and
eight touchdowns?
Yeah, set eight touchdowns.
Eight touchdowns.
He had 1,800 yards as a sophomore. So, like, does great stuff. He reminds me of Zach Moss, and he's smaller. And for that reason, I'm out on Jarrett Patterson. But he did have some exciting college games. And I think that's great. And he'll find a spot, and he'll bounce around the NFL. But I don't see him. He's 5'9", 195, and he's a churner. And
he is a churner.
And that's not the profile you want if you're a churner.
Can I interest you in
A220
Michael Warren, if you remember him, the powerful armadillo. Michael Warren from Cincinnati. He gives me Michael Warren vibes. Who else? Do you remember D'Angelo Henderson?
Yeah, but not as big.
Yeah, small.
The thing with Michael Warren is,
Michael
Warren's 226. Michael Warren's like 30 pounds heavier.
Yeah, but they're just as slow, and I think that's really the comparison I'm trying to make here. he's in this tier of guy where very good college player, obviously, dominated the MAC, and there are some good running backs come out of that. But yeah, he's in this tier of, you know, small school guy that I think will remain a small school name.
I'm trying to find someone that I find as comparable.
Devin Singletary?
And
is that in your wheelhouse?
Yeah.
Different
play style.
That's
probably the best one.
But that's probably like best case scenario, right? In terms of, not in terms of who he is in the NFL, but in terms of
landing spot,
actual fantasy production, right? Pure points. Right. That, you know, I think you're looking at best some RB3.
Yeah. And hang on, one other guy that's coming to mind. I gotta check the speed on this guy. It's so hard because there aren't any small, slow guys in the NFL.
Yeah, I wonder why.
There's no small, slow guys.
Yeah.
Right? You got to be big and slow or small and fast.
Yeah.
All these guys are that I'm like, oh, maybe he's this guy. No, they're in 4-4. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, D'Angelo Henderson, he's a 4-4 or something.
Yeah, so D'Angelo Henderson, yeah, but great, also great no.
Actual comp. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Devin Singletary, I think, is the best comparison. Okay. You know who's a great Michael Warren comp?
Yeah.
Is Ramondre Stevenson.
Oh, that's painful.
Ramondre Stevenson, I don't think he's very good.
No?
No. I don't. Do you like him?
I think he's got... I think he's got enough zest. Okay, compare him to Devonta Foreman.
Oh, no. Devonta, way better.
Really?
Devonta Foreman. Yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm... I love Ramondre Stevenson's name, first of all. Phenomenal name.
Yeah. Well, that's part of why I'm so into it.
Yeah. 5'11", 227. Massive, massive dude. He's 23 right now. His best season was 600 yards. And he has the vision of a bat in daylight.
Yeah, the Oklahoma guys are super interesting because I think the Oklahoma guys got out easy, right? You can
all you need is one of them to hit, though.
You can turn in crazy good yardage at Oklahoma because nobody friggin' plays defense, and they're so spread and wide open that you just run through holes for infinity. Kennedy Brooks is basically a no name in this class, and he's got 1,000 yards every time he's playing. Like,
is Kennedy Brooks in this class?
I don't know. Did he declare?
I think he's next year.
I hope
year.
He did. Did he? We'll have to look into that.
We'll look.
Yeah.
I'm but looking right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, like, you know, Kennedy Brooks, you totally forgot about him. Now he's old. He'll be another one of these senior guys.
Dang, I think he did declare. Yeah. He had to have. Yeah.
He's
in player profiler. We'll see. I think he might have declared.
Oh, no.
He had 2 seasons and then he opted out. Oh, no. He opted
PFF
out.
PFF ranks Oklahoma's Kennedy Brooks number 3 among returning running backs in 2021.
Yeah.
Either way, okay, here's the deal with Kennedy. Here's the deal with Kennedy Brooks. He just got free passes. It was like Daryl Henderson, but at Oklahoma instead of Memphis. Like, nobody touched him. He would have 70-yard runs, 50-yard runs, and nobody touches him. But that, you know, that's what it is with these
Rashad Penny
backs. Yeah, a very Rashad Penny.
Oh, God. You know who Ramondre Stevenson is? Shoot, I just had the perfect comp. Son of a gun. Who was it? We'll talk about the next guy. Last guy, CJ Marable.
Oh, yeah.
I just watched his highlight film. Marable. I don't know much else about him. Not a bad college stats. Coastal Carolina. He's a little old for me. He's, and the question, just so we get this right, is are we throwing a fourth round dart or nah? Sure. I personally go wide receiver or tight end in that fourth round.
Yes.
Because that's a higher upside. If you're not getting the draft capital, you're as a running back, your odds of hitting are very low. Now you could totally be a Phillip Lindsay for sure.
What a stud.
But yeah, you could totally be
like a real
Lindsay.
Hero.
You could totally be you could be an Austin Eckler. Is CJ Marable Austin Eckler, or is he Phillip Lindsay? I don't think so. I do like his receiving ability. He's got some nice hands, but I don't see him unless he lands in the perfect situation, like you're taking like a Darwin Thompson type stab at him. I don't necessarily know that I'm super concerned with him. I'd much rather take a shot on an athletic wide receiver or a third or fourth tight end than a running back that's going to be fourth on the depth chart. You know, that's not someone that I'm in love with. Although I don't mind him as a player, but he's not someone that I'm like, yeah, definitely make sure he's on all your teams in the fourth round. my strategy typically is wide receiver in that fourth round, because that's where you get the freak athletes that that you have a shot on that can make a play. That's where you get a Tyrell Williams type guy where they can have a year of success. So that's kind of where I'm at with CJ. You ready?
Yes.
Ramondre Stevenson, his comp, a lesser Samaje Perine.
Oh man.
Samaje?
Yeah.
Samaje, same school, huge biceps.
Yeah.
Nothing in the NFL.
Sadness.
So Ramondre, he's on the Bengals.
Had a lot of opportunity. Samaje had 427 yards against Kansas State, I think. Set the record. Broke Melvin Gordon's record.
Mm-hmm. Ramondre is a lesser version of Samaje Perine. And what has Samaje Perine done in the NFL?
That hurts, man.
Nothing.
That hurts really bad.
Nothing. Nothing, nothing. And it hurts more because of Samaje Perine and less because of Ramondre Stevenson.
Right. Because we don't care about Ramondre.
No, that's really the point. That was the point of that comp. You think about Samaje now, and then think if Samaje was worse. Can you picture that? Because
I'm picturing it right now. And it's rough. I think this Marable guy, CJ Marable, he's interesting. He's got a one-hand catch on tape. And
does he?
Can I tell you? Yes. And there's not a whole lot of that in this class. And so I think that's why overall we're very down on this class. I did not see really any arrogant hands. Have you?
No arrogant hands in this class. So to sum up, CJ Marable, probably Marable.
Yeah, I think it's Marable.
I don't know. So to sum up, CJ Marable, if he's in a position where he can potentially see the field, okay, yeah, why not? Like, Buffalo needs a pass catching back, sure. Like, great, that's an awesome spot for him to be. But if he ends up on a team where he's not really going to see the field, and you're just kind of hoping for an injury, that's not the dart throw that I'm looking for. I'm not looking for handcuff running back dart throws. I'm looking for wide receivers that could ascend. I'm looking for tight ends that could develop.
Can we just talk about how great James Robinson is real quick?
Yeah, J-Rob. Oh, I was just thinking about him.
James Robinson he's the greatest. So that would be your fourth
Emmett
round.
Smith.
Fourth round dart throw, instant hit. I mean, come on. The guy is a stud. So, okay, here. Would you rather have Najee Harris or James Robinson?
James Robinson.
Yeah. That should be the big takeaway here.
Wow.
That's a huge statement. Undrafted. I think.
Yeah. I would rather have James Robinson.
Yeah.
He's the man.
He's such a stud. So
how do you not? That's a great point.
Yeah, you can look at this entire class and be like, you know what? I'd rather have last year's UDFA.
Yep. Where would Harris rank? Where would Harris rank in last class post NFL season?
Okay.
Dude, there were so many good running backs.
There were.
Do you take him over Cam Akers? No.
Yeah.
No. No, you do not. Do you take him over Antonio Gibson?
No.
Do you take him over DeAndre Swift?
Okay, well, let's put Najee on a team.
Okay.
Pick a team.
Where do you want to put him? Put him on the Falcons.
Oh, love it.
Best case scenario.
Oh, that is the best case. That's a dream.
So you put him on the Falcons. All right.
Well, fine. I don't know. We're talking, yeah.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
You put him on the Jets.
No, forget it.
No.
Wait. No.
Well, nope.
Maybe. Nah.
We're out.
What about Becton? Mackie Becton?
Yeah, who cares?
Oh, okay.
We care, but we don't. Right, put him on the Dolphins?
No, he's going to the Falcons.
Yeah, he'll go to the Falcons. Second round.
Okay.
Book it. But, okay, so let's for the sake of it, he goes in the Falcons. Where do we got him? We got him, okay. Let's start at the top. Jonathan Taylor. Nah.
No.
You take Jonathan Taylor over. Who else we have? JK? It's an interesting one.
That is an interesting one. Gus is still around.
Yeah, that's true.
I love JK, but the Gus bus.
Let's go Cam Akers or Harris. I still go Akers because he was freaking unreal.
I'll go Harris.
All right, so that's right in the range that you're at. How about DeAndre Swift? This is so much dead air time with that question.
Well, yeah, it's a tough one.
All right, we'll come back to that because it's right there. I mean, if you're right at the same level with all these guys,
right there, yeah.
James Robinson.
No, James Robinson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
So right now, what that really tells us, Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, that's tough too.
Okay, so right now what that really tells us is our rookie rankings from last year are Jonathan Taylor and James Robinson tier one.
Yes, absolutely.
Everyone else?
Without a doubt.
Everyone else tier two.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd put Najee in that tier two. Yeah.
Falcons Najee in that tier.
Yeah.
Are there any other Najees that you want? It's really hard for me.
I would take all the Najees.
You would not take all the Najees.
I would take Jets Najees.
Oh, in that same range? I would take Akers and Gibson and Swift over that Jets Najee.
Dude, Gase is not there anymore. Meyer.
I realize. No, Urban Meyer's not there.
What's his face? Who's there now?
It's Robert Saleh.
Yeah. Oh, Matt LaFleur. That's what I meant to say. Or Mike LaFleur. Yeah. Oh, I love that spot.
I just can't get there yet.
He's not going to end there. Mike's not built that way. Mike's not thinking, oh, yeah, we need a bell cow. He's thinking
Michael Carter.
Let's get freaking Michael Carter. Let's get Khalil Chuba. Herbert in here. Let's get Chuba in here.
Chuba.
That's what they're thinking. LaMichael Pirine, get out of here. Slow.
What other spots can we put someone? Seattle.
Oh,
Chris Carson. Who do you like?
I like Chris Carson. He's a good football player.
I don't think that
Najee Harris is a. You got me saying it like you, bro. I think Chris Carson is a decent comp to Najee.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Chris Carson, a handful more injuries. Don't hate it.
Yeah.
Don't hate it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Put Najee on the. He's beating Rashad Penny out and you kick him to the curb. Yeah. That's easy. Yeah. Give me Najee on the Seahawks, of course.
Yeah. I'm trying to think where else he'd be a good fit. The Texans are a trash heap at this point. So you hope he doesn't go there.
Yeah. Just not the Texans, basically.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. So he's right in that tier, and then it's pick your preference of offense. I would put Cam Akers over him, with the exception of the Falcons. With the Falcons, it's close, probably still Cam Akers for me. But any landing spot, not the Falcons, and you're not as excited. I think we ironed out a couple things in this pod.
Yeah.
Number one.
We did. Yeah,
is the only place Najee Harris can go. Number two is the absolute truth on 2020 rookie running back rankings.
Yeah,
which the absolute truth is James Robinson.
Yeah. What a bam!
Illinois State guy. And you remember Fusu said he was better than Clyde?
Yeah, that is honestly the greatest best. Call.
Can of you victory all lap? I mean, I
all time.
That's you one should of the victory best. Lap. Way harder.
Yeah.
I want to make a comp like that. I want to make something like that, but I'm not ballsy enough.
Yeah.
So that's why it's
I didn't know who he was at all, so.
No. I think they're
a handful. I feel bad for missing cuz I didn't know who he was.
Yeah. Never heard of him.
Yeah. Very happy to be a James Robinson rosterer.
You're welcome.
With the Italian Stallions. Thanks to your excellent management.
Our Devi League is turnt.
Did we pick yet? No.
We have not.
Stall them out, man.
Let's wear them down with persistence and trade for Zach. This is for you, Shane. Zach.
Yeah.
This is for you, Shane.
Yep. All right.
We'll wear them down. All right. That's what I got. We hit a lot of guys.
Yeah. I think we knocked it out of the park. We hit probably
10 at least. 10 running backs.
Yeah.
Do you wanna mention any other running back names that you like as sleepers?
No.
Nobody else is worth it.
No, not really.
Nobody's worth my time. Be more worth my time. Running backs.
Yeah.
This is a lackluster class.
Running backs don't matter.
Yes. Kylan Hill.
Kylan Hill, yeah, he's a player. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
We'll get to him later.
I always got a guy that's 5. Pod. I always got a guy that's 5'2" and a bowling ball. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a handful of guys in there. Still don't matter.
No.
People are gonna so we're gonna hit the part of the off season where I fell in love with Darwin Thompson.
Oh.
You know, it's gonna be that part of the off season soon. So yeah. Beware. Beware. I suffered that once. Still love Darwin Thompson.
Yeah. You weren't wrong.
I wasn't wrong.
No.
He was rocked up. Great landing spot.
Yeah.
Just wasn't his time. Couldn't pick up the offense. If he'd picked up the offense, you saw him hurdle in games.
Yeah.
Freaking phenomenal.
You have no idea what's going on between the ears.
It's true. But you do know what's going on with the feet.
Yeah.
And there's very little else going on with the feet in this class. So this will be our last running backs pod. Just kidding. It's not. Yeah, don't worry, guys.
No way.
We're going to talk running backs again.
We'll do this again in like a month.
Post-draft running back pod. Cool. Subscribe, like, recommend us to your friends, win your leagues, support us on Patreon, all that good stuff. You know what to do.
Yeah, we're the best.
We're the best. And I think our rankings are going to hit better than ever this year. I'm more confident moving my guys up because I'm better in my process this year.
I'm way better. I'm so smart now.
A genius. We're genii.
Yeah.
We're genii. All right,
let's land this rocket ship.
All right. We are the Fantasy Football Astronauts, and we are blasting off again.